In 2007, Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone, and parents barely blinked.
By 2010, Instagram launched.
By 2012, smartphones had colonized teenage bedrooms across America.
What happened next wasn't gradual. It was a cliff edge.
Depression rates among adolescent girls didn't creep upward. They rocketed, nearly tripling within a decade.
Boys weren't spared either, retreating into gaming marathons and pornography binges that consumed entire childhoods.
This wasn't a coincidence.
It was the largest uncontrolled experiment on human development ever conducted, and nobody asked permission.
The data tells a story that's hard to ignore.
Around 2010, something broke.
Anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicide attempts among teens began climbing at rates unprecedented in modern history.
By 2020, nearly one in four teenage girls reported experiencing major depression.
The pattern appeared across countries, income levels, and demographics, always with the same timing.
This wasn't about economic anxiety or climate doom. Previous generations faced nuclear war and economic collapse without similar mental health collapses.
The smoking gun pointed directly at the glowing rectangles in every teenager's pocket.
For millennia, children learned through action, climbing trees, negotiating playground politics, building forts. This wasn't recreation. It was development's core mechanism. Humans evolved an extended childhood specifically to master complex social skills through play, learning conflict resolution, cooperation, and resilience with every game. Then, between 2010 and 2015, it vanished. Teens abandoned in-person interaction for digital spaces. But online engagement isn't merely different. It's fundamentally incompatible with brain development. Consider attunement, that synchrony when parent and child lock eyes, when emotions align in real time. This teaches emotional regulation. Every parental phone glance during dinner disrupts this mechanism. Multiply that across childhood, and you've raised a generation struggling to read and regulate emotions. For millennia, kids learned by observing slightly older peers and admired adults. Now they learn from influencers, people whose existence is pure performance. The result? A generation mistaking performance for authenticity. Your brain operates in two modes. Discover mode opens you to the world, curious, playful, learning. Defend mode closes you down, vigilant, anxious, threat scanning. Healthy development requires childhood spent primarily in discover mode.
We've engineered the opposite. We've bubble-wrapped children physically, no walking to school alone, no unsupervised play, then thrown them into a psychological gladiatorial arena online, where social status is quantified, appearance constantly judged, and mistakes permanent. This creates a fragility paradox. Trees in biodomes grow tall but weak. Without wind resistance, they collapse. Children raised without manageable risks develop identical brittleness, never building anti-fragility, the capacity to strengthen through stress. College administrators witness this. Millennials arrived eager and optimistic. Gen Z arrives anxious and overwhelmed.
When smartphones became ubiquitous around 2012, they didn't just add a new activity to childhood, they fundamentally restructured it. Four specific harms emerged that perfectly undermine healthy development. Social deprivation might sound paradoxical, given that teens are more connected than ever, but connection and interaction aren't the same thing. Humans need embodied social experience, reading facial expressions, navigating group dynamics in real time, learning through thousands of small social calibrations. Texting and liking posts provide none of this. It's the social equivalent of living on vitamin pills instead of food. Sleep deprivation became endemic as phones migrated to bedrooms. Blue light disrupts melatonin production, content triggers anxiety, and fear of missing out keeps thumbs scrolling past midnight. The result is a generation running on empty, which alone can trigger anxiety and depression. Attention fragmentation is perhaps the most insidious harm. Adolescents receive 192 notifications daily, one every 5 minutes. Each ping fragments focus, making deep engagement nearly impossible. The result? A generation that can scroll but can't sustain attention, that can consume but can't create.
Addiction completes the quartet. Social media platforms use the same psychological principles as slot machines: variable rewards, infinite scrolling, quantified social feedback. When teens try to stop, they experience dysphoria and anxiety that only more screen time can temporarily relieve. These four harms work synergistically, each amplifying the others. Sleep-deprived brains are more vulnerable to addiction. Fragmented attention makes real-world interaction harder, driving more online engagement. It's a perfectly engineered trap.
Alexis Spence got Instagram at 11. Within months, the algorithm fed her pro-anorexia content and self-harm imagery. By 13, she was hospitalized. Her story isn't unique. Psychiatric wards began filling with teenage girls around 2013, and the numbers have only climbed since. The gender disparity is striking. Four factors create a perfect storm for girls. Visual platforms weaponize their tendency towards social comparison, turning every scroll into a referendum on appearance. Relational aggression, the kind that damages reputations rather than using physical force, gets supercharged online. Emotional contagion spreads faster among girls, creating cluster outbreaks of depression. Girls also face far higher rates of sexual harassment and predation online, where anonymity removes normal social constraints. While girls' crisis grabbed headlines, boys face their own quiet collapse. They're falling behind in education, employment, and basic life milestones. The failure to launch phenomenon has become epidemic.
Video games and pornography create supernormal stimuli, artificial experiences more intense than anything evolution prepared us for. Boys need risk and challenge to develop confidence, but today they face restricted physical exploration, expensive sports, disappeared teen jobs, and social interaction moved online where they feel awkward. They retreat into virtual worlds where they feel powerful, but these victories are hollow. The skills don't transfer. The confidence doesn't build.
Change is happening. Schools banning phones report remarkable transformations. Students talking at lunch, eye contact returning, anxiety dropping. Parents delaying smartphones consistently report happier, more engaged children. But individual action isn't enough. When most kids have smartphones, those without face social exclusion. Breaking this cycle requires coordination through age verification technology, duty of care laws, phone-free schools, and community-organized outdoor play. The most powerful intervention might be simplest, bringing back childhood itself. Kids walking to school, playing outside unsupervised, taking manageable risks, experiencing boredom, figuring things out independently. Prioritizing sleep and outdoor time over screens, face-to-face interaction over digital connection. Parents can start today. Delay smartphones until high school. Keep devices out of bedrooms. Create phone-free family times. Encourage outdoor play and real-world hobbies. Connect with other parents to create screen-wise communities where kids can have normal childhoods without social penalty.
We've conducted an experiment on an entire generation, and the results are catastrophic. But we know what children need. Play-based childhoods produce resilient, confident, socially skilled adults. Embodied interaction, physical challenge, and real-world risk-taking are developmental necessities, as are sleep, attention, and face-to-face connection. Tech companies won't solve this. Their business model depends on addiction. The solution must come from parents, educators, and communities willing to say enough. Your child's brain evolved over millions of years to develop through play, risk, and embodied social interaction. It did not evolve for infinite scroll, quantified social approval, and 24/7 digital connectivity. The childhood that produces healthy adults isn't mysterious. It's the one that existed for thousands of generations before smartphones. The transformation won't happen overnight, but every step matters. every phone-free dinner, every afternoon spent outside, every real conversation that replaces a text threat. These small acts accumulate into childhoods, and childhoods accumulate into the adults we'll become.
This isn't nostalgia or technophobia. Human development has non-negotiable requirements, hardwired by millions of years of evolution. When we replace physical play with screens, embodied social learning with digital performance, sleep with scrolling, and attention with fragmentation, we pay a price, visible in emergency rooms, therapy offices, and the haunted eyes of teenagers who can't remember what it feels like to be truly present. The evidence is overwhelming. The harm is undeniable. The solution is clear. What remains is the will to act, not as isolated individuals fighting an impossible tide, but as communities reclaiming what was stolen. Every school that bans phones, every parent who delays the smartphone, every neighborhood that organizes outdoor play builds the wall against digital childhood. The question is whether you'll help build it.